the schedule a little bit. We will have now the discovery class with, I believe, oops, let me make this a little softer, something of great importance. Then we will have the workshop. But I was thinking very deeply and praying. I think what we all need is a deep immersion in the Holy Name. So we have decided to start to not have the optional japa class at 4 o'clock, but to start 1 hour later at 5 o'clock in the temple room with a kirtan of 3.5 hours. My dear devotees, this you will see with all the preparations which you have done, the exercises, the hopefully new insights, this will be a completely different experience than prolonged kirtan events, which I'm sure you have visited because many are offered in our movement. No, this really will help you to apply what you have learned, and then by sitting in a sangha of people who went through similar experiences as you have gone through, you will see that something almost magical happens. I'm saying almost because magic is attributed to Harry Potter and in modern times and other such figures which may or may not be very real. what we are talking about here is the ongoing wonderment, the ongoing miracle, I should say, of chanting the holy name. And I'm very sure that with your preparation work, which all of you have done so far, this will not only be the crowning event, but it will be absolutely necessary to solidify and make it real what you have heard about and what you have aspired for. So I really request that you take this time from 5 to 8:30 as something which is really a wow, this is my chance. This is my opportunity. This is really something I cannot fail. I can't flunk here. I can't sizzle out. I'm going to do this. So please make your resolve already now. In longer living name retreats, we have 64 rounds day and 24-hour kirtans. This is a version adopted to this retreat, but it's really necessary that we all make a step to go into this. So therefore, I'm mentioning it now where your minds are still fresh. Then we will have a great surprise for you. It's so surpriseful that I guarantee you no one of you has any idea what will happen at 8:30. So it will be a relief. Relief, release, I think you call it, of emotions and everything. So today is your most important day, and I request you to see what is presented now, or to perceive, to register, to take in what is presented now as a preparation for what is going to come later in the afternoon at 5 o'clock. Starting with 5 o'clock. Good. I think we are ready to start. Radha Madhava, Kunya Vihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Gopi Dana Vallabha Giri Varadari. Gopi Dana Vallabha Giri Varadari. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari.
Gauranga, Gauranga.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Krishna, Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare. Please allow me to pose a slightly challenging question to you. Are you already singing, or are you still in your mind? Are you already singing to Krishna? Please accept me in your service. Or are you still in your mental climate? Moods, aspirations, conditionings, inclinations, plans, secret desires. The mental cloud has many aspects to it. And by the Son of the Holy Name, this can be dissolved, or at least put to rest for some time, so that the Son makes a contact, maybe a breakthrough, through the layers to the soul. But it requires that you sing. So are you already singing kirtan? Kirtan means glorification of Krishna, turning to Krishna. Or are you still just getting there? I request you, since this is your holy name retreat, to utilize the opportunity to address Krishna. Bring something with you. It could be like yesterday, the recognition that we are souls really, that we are parts really, that we are belonging really to Krishna. And he is our only shelter, our master. Please, my dear devotees, invest a little bit in that one relationship, in that one relation to the yet unknown friend. Please sing your kirtan now. Hare Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Jesu Namen. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Please, everybody. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hey, Bo. Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna, a little louder, please. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama,
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, one more time, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, one more time, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Jaya Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Prabhu Pada, Jaya Radha Vrindavan Chanda, Radha Vrindavan Chanda Siddhadhe, Jaya Radha Vrindavan Chanda, Radha Vrindavan Chanda Siddhadhe,
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. In great humility, considering himself a conditioned soul of the material world, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again expressed his desire to be endowed with service to the Lord. This is what he pleaded. Ayi nanda tanuya kinkaram.
Ayi nanda tanuya kinkaram.
Paditam mam vishame bhavam budho.
Paditam mam vishame bhavam budho.
Kripaya tava pada pankaja. Stita duli sadrisham vichintaya. Ainanna tanuya kinkaram. Vatitam mam vishame bhavam budho. Kripaya tava pada pankaja. Stita duli sadrisham vichintaya. Ainanna tanuya kinkaram. Patitam mam vishame bhavam budho. Kripaya tava pada pankaja. Stita duli sadrisham vichintaya. Ainanna tanuya kinkaram. Patitam mam vishame bhavam budho. Kripaya tava pada pankaja. Stita duli sadrisham vichintaya. Yes, please, someone else. Ainanna tanuya kinkaram. Patitam mam vishame bhavam budho. Kripaya tava pada pankaja. Stita duli sadrisham vichintaya. Ayunanna tanuya kinkaram. Patitam mam vishame bhavam budho. Kripaya tava pada pankaja. Stita duli sadrisham vichintaya. Thank you. Matajis, please. Oh, sorry. Ladies, please. Ainanna tanuya kinkaram. Patitam mam vishame bhavam budho. Kripaya tava pada pankaja. Thank you very much. O my Lord, Nanda Tanuja, the son of Nanda Maharaj Krishna, Kinkaram, the servant. King means literally what, and Karam is there to do. So the servant will ask, what is there to do? Patitam, fallen. Mam, me. Vishame, horrible. Bhavam budho, in the ocean of Neshines. Gripaya, by causeless mercy. Tava, your. Pada Pankaja, lotus feet, stita, situated at, Nduli Sadrisham, like a particle of dust, Vichintaya, kindly consider. Translation. Again, this is a prayer of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which he expresses Ati Dainya. Ati means very, very much, and Dainya means a feeling of being forsaken, a feeling of being truly wretched in a helpless situation. So Mahaprabhu is expressing this. Ati Dainya, he's really feeling something. Oh my Lord, O Krishna, son of Maharaj Nanda, I'm your eternal servant. But because of my own fruitive acts, I have fallen to this horrible ocean of nations. Now please, be causelessly merciful to me. Consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet. And Krishna Das Kaviraj now gives a purport to this. I'm your eternal servant, but I forgot your lordship. Now I have fallen into the ocean of nations, and I have been conditioned by the external energy. Be causelessly merciful to me by giving me a place with the particles of dust at your lotus feet, so that I may engage in the service of your lordship as your eternal servant. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesa Sunyavani Paskatyari Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is a verse which devotees who go deeper into that chanting always chant. I first became really attentive to it in the writings of Ravindra Swarup Prabhu. I think you all know and appreciate his philosophical but also existential acumen. I mean, he's a real thinker in our movement, and he went on a 1 month sabbatical at the Bhaktivedanta ashram, where he dedicated himself entirely to the chanting of the holy name, and then wrote about it. And he, in one of the, I think he wrote several pieces, but one piece I do remember, he said how this verse got a new meaning for him, how he really felt at that time as he was approaching the Lord as his singular purpose, as his main purpose, how helpless he was, how he described it how the he seemed to encounter an obstacle which was too great for him to cross, and that made him really feel helpless. It's almost like here the imagery which we find in this verse. When you are drowning in an ocean, I think of some of the elders have done it. I know Radhanath Maharaj once shared with me his drowning experience in the ocean of Puri. You know, when you're really feeling the forces of the ocean, which is so much stronger than your own swimming abilities, pulling at you, you feel truly helpless and hopeless also. So this imagery is evoked here by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have fallen into this ocean, horrible ocean, he even says, of nations. Now, many Vaishnava commentaries, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has sung about this. I once heard Prabhupada sing this song. What is it? It's in the new book here, the Living Name book. It was one of his favorites. I hear it. It's really helpless. Crying, I can't just... My mind is focused on something, so it doesn't see the other things at the moment. He thinks, I'm drowning in the ocean of material existence, and the sharks and the crocodiles of lust and anger are at me, you know. They've bitten themselves into my legs, and they're pulling, and really, a really desperate song it is. It is... I will be able to tell you at the workshop. I will find it for you. It's in the way Prabhupada sings it. I mean, you, whatever ego is there, I'm a great devotee, is washed away by his tears in this song. Very, very powerful imagery. Drowning, the drowning man. Now, my dear devotees, I have a surprise for you. A person who knows who is in danger can do something against it. At least he can cry or make a noise if he can't face it. But he can do something at it. But when someone is in danger and he doesn't notice it, then he is unsavable. There's nothing which can be done. Just very briefly, because I told it so long and I'm really tired to talk about my insignificant life, but just this one thing, please allow me. I was once seriously drowning. My parents tell me, as a child, I was also drowning and they had to send a lifeboat, but I don't remember that. But I remember this one. I was preaching in, Tenerife, you know, Canarian Islands. And I had preached the whole day, I think three lecture engagements, and I needed some respite, some relaxation. So I took my gamsha and without looking at the signs, I went into the ocean. It's important in Tenerife to look at the signs. There's a green sign and there's a red sign at all bathing opportunities. So I didn't look. I was in my own little world. And I was swimming I remember, I felt great exhilaration. I was swimming so swiftly. I saw the landscape racing by. I thought, my God, I will register at the Olympic Games when I'm out of this. This is my supreme swimming abilities are manifesting at this moment in unmistakable pristine form. It was really, I thought, I challenged Johnny Weissmuller, the famous Olympia victor of the United States of America. Then, when it was time to return, I noticed I was not swimming. I had been swept by the flood, the tide, the receding tide, into the high ocean where the waves, the mortal waves of the Atlantic oceans were crashing down on me. Within seconds, a proud German turned into a helpless victim of the Atlantic Ocean. And I was not even swimming in the salt water. I was swimming in my own vomit. It came out, you know, at the shock. And I was drowning. I want to give this example. Obviously, I'm not dead. It is not my ghost who sits here. Something happened, but that's another story. I want to come to a point. As I was thinking, everything goes well. I'm swimming very nicely. I entered the mouth of the greatest danger. If I had noted at the beginning that I was pulled out into the open sea, I could have stood a better chance. But now, where I was not noticing it, or had not noticed it, I was in problem. And this is exactly the situation of the conditioned souls. We do not notice Maya only when there are extreme situations, I mean really extreme ones. We may notice, or if someone preaches to us and we happen to have some trust in his words and are willing to listen. But most of the time, the forces of the material energy are working in an almost imperceptible way on the conditioned soul. We don't see it. Where is the ocean, please? What is, I'm drowning? You say I'm suffering? Where am I suffering? There's no suffering. Birth, old age, disease? Not for me. I take food supplements. We usually do not see our fallen existence. And I want to now speak a little clearly to all of you. When I ask this question, are you already singing or are you still in the mental cloud? My dear devotees, the mental cloud of conditioning which covers us is just so thick. It is made of of what you think you are. You identify with it. You don't see that it is something foreign to you, that you are not the mind and not the plans. You are not your shame. You are not your rebellion. You are not your resentment as you sit on your seat and hear the German Swami. You are not all your guilt and shame and all your shadows, all your plans, all your happiness and all your distress. It's covering you. It's a cloud of Maya. And you don't even notice it. And this is the very difficult state in which we are. As someone who's requested to facilitate Holy Name retreats, I have become humbled by my own conditionings, by my own cloud. I'm not at all better. I'm even worse than most of you. Why? Because I have such a creative mind. If you want, I can prove it to you. You won't believe. But I don't. It's not the purpose of this lecture. The cloud is very thick. But once you notice it, you stand a chance. Maybe some of you know Kirtan Madhava, the one with the impressive... Our Kirtan Madhava sometimes says, he told me, Maharaj, he said, when I'm noting, I'm distracted as I chant. Then I'm lucky, because most of the time I don't notice it. And I've taken this, and I'm saying now to my audience, when you notice that your mind wanders, lucky you, may we garland it with rose garlands. Because most, now you can do something against it, but most of the time we don't notice it. And my dear devotees, I'm not speaking here of just thoughts like inappropriate thoughts or you know, planning or something. I'm speaking of the constant mental layer, the inner dross, which is covering the pure gold of your soul. Huh? The gold is covered by dross. Huh? I'm speaking of that. These very things which you think, that's me, which you are ready to defend in endless email debates, you know, and so on. That is the conditioned existence. Now, Mahaprabhu, in Ati Dainya, this is such a Oti, the Bengalis will say. No, Oti Doinya. They will say the greatest amount of humility means a feeling of wretchedness, of worthlessness, considering himself a conditioned soul, and expresses something confidential. Now, what you will hear now will require all your attention. I will express it in the simplest possible way, but there is such a pristine spiritual secret in these simple words that in order to discover it, I request you now to try to focus on what you hear. This mood is the very entry into Krishna consciousness. It's called the mood of separation from Krishna. My Lord, I'm so much away from you. I'm so much covered. I'm drowning in an ocean. Please help me. And it is this very mood which will bring you immediately in contact with Krishna. And why this is so and how this is so, you need to understand. First of all, so that you know we are walking here on safe grounds, I wish to quote to you something which Prabhupada wrote, by the way, consistently, but I will just pick out one statement. We should follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya and the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. They are always serving Krishna in the mood of separation. They never said, now I have seen Krishna, or last night I danced with Krishna. No! They were crying, where is Krishna? And they were always searching after him, wondering when they would be finally able to see him. We should also desire intensely to see and be with Krishna. But the first thing is to become purified through devotional service. It's not possible otherwise. So, yes, we need to be purified from the dross, purified from what is covering us, purified from the ego and its many servants. And we need to then what will be there after the layers are removed, will be a soul who feels the need, the Govinda necessity, as Prabhupada said in another way. Now this feeling is called in Sanskrit Vipra Lamba. Vipra It's not a scholar here, it also can mean a scholar, but vipra denotes distance, and alamba means to attain. Vipra means distance, and alamba means to attain. In other words, when a devotee enters this mood, Krishna, you are my only need. I belong to you. I'm part of you. Part. It's essential part. Like the ear is a part. Like the nose is a part. Like the hair is a part. Like the limbs are a part. I'm part of you. I belong to you. This is not natural to be separated from you. It's my death if I'm cut off from you. I need to really be connected again. At that time, externally, the devotee may feel Krishna is far away. And you may feel fallen. You may feel I'm in the world. But if you imbibe this mood of separation, Krishna will come into your heart without delay. Vipralamba, in other words, means outside absence and inside presence of Krishna. I'm taking this from a purport of Srila Vishwanath, of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. In this purport, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur makes a point that material relationships, and here is where you have to really get it, you have to dig it, in English. I'm using slang words now to really get to the core of all of us. I want to catch all of you linguistically, even whatever the word is. So in material relationships to people, into material objects, this does not work. When you feel I don't have it, or I'm separated from a good friend of mine, thinking about the separation makes you even more miserable. Oh my God, I said such a foolish thing. And now he feels so hurt, my good friend. The relationships are like porcelain. Once they're broken, you can never stick them together again. When you think about it, the separation is increasing as you go deeper and deeper into the pain. Or an object, I'm so poor. I have a broken down home. My roof is like Kolavecha Shida's roof. Irreparable, and I have no money, and I will get no money, I'm a loser, and so on. As you enter deeper into this spiral of negative emotions, you really get to the bottom. But spiritually, it is totally different. When you can think of Krishna, even with the feeling of, I'm so far away from you, Krishna. My God, I'm really far away. And he said it on that seat, this man. Mysteriously, paradoxically, almost like a Buddhistic koan, and a contradictory sentence with contradictory statements which do something to you. You are now with Krishna. This is a secret in Krishna consciousness. It's spiritual, it's not material. As a lecturer, like all of you lecturers, we have many lecturers here. Our Kalakanda Prabhu is here, leader of the most dynamic preaching place in ISKCON, the Krishna House, or one of the most. We have our communication minister. here. They're expert men in preaching. Ooh. We all know when we talk about humility, then everyone goes, oh, Prabhuji, we've heard so much about this. This gives me a minority complex. feelings of wretchedness. Oh, I'm already wretched. I'm born on the wrong side of the moon, you know. And now misery. Don't remind me of the fallen existence. Stabilize my self-confidence, please. And so on. My dear devotees, this feeling is something entirely different than the minority complex and the self-infliction and in a shadow of what I forgot the words which are used out there. It's something very, very deep. It's a spiritual awakening to a spiritual truth. And by the way, if you enter this, your confidence is stabilized for life because you feel, Krishna, I really need you. And if you address Krishna like this, guaranteed, we live in the country of the Vaishyas, money back guarantee. Hare Krishna, let's talk American language. Krishna responds to this. He might just have waited for you to turn to him with this feeling of, I really need you. And then you can walk humbly and confidentially and strongly to the world. You are restored to reality. You have entered the real situation or a recognition. You have entered a recognition of the real situation. And reality brings always clarity. And clarity brings all the good things. It's a goodness mode of psychology. Clarity, serenity, and all these things come. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj said it so nice. Humility means not to think what? To think less of yourself. It means to think of yourself less. Do you get it? It's a play with words. Humility does not mean to think less of yourself. It means to think of yourself in lesser quantity, you know, not so often. Yes. It's so important for me to bring this to the forefront of your good-hearted attention, of your willing attention, of your attention to be open to a new point in your life. That feeling this real sense of my Lord, there's a broken relationship here. I'm not sufficiently aware of you. It's a relationship I can see. Whenever I chant, my mind goes somewhere else. Do you know what this means? In psychology, if you talk to someone and then you don't acknowledge the person, let me not try to get my meager psychological knowledge out. It's something severe which needs to be treated. You know, it's not good. You know, I'm talking to someone and my mind is not really acknowledging he and his achievements are there. I'm just so envious of him that I can't see that. And so on. It's a disorder. So our situation of having turned away from Krishna, being absent in our chanting, is turning up when we chant Hare Krishna. I remember we were in the Govardhan retreat and it was Purijan Prabhu who brought this point to the attention. He said, how real your relationship with Krishna is will show when you chant Hare Krishna. When you turn away from him, switch off, from the chanting, go into something else, some other thoughts, or just as most of us go in our habitual moods. This is like the, what is it, neutral function of the mind. It's not so neutral, but switching off. That means you don't take Krishna so serious. You're not really turning to him. So this feeling of which Mahaprabhu here expresses, the shocking verse of "You're drowning. Can you see you're drowning?" Mahaprabhu is expressing himself as a conditioned soul. He speaks through our mouth, really. He speaks through our mind, and he says, "Oh my Lord, O Krishna, O son of Maharaj Nanda, I'm your eternal servant. But because of my own, I did it, not you, but because of my own fruitive acts, I have fallen into this horrible ocean of nations. Now please be causelessly merciful to me. Consider me a particle of dust at your lotus feet." To help us understand this a little better, I will do something unusual here in the temple room and request you in a simple partner to enter a simple partner exercise. Matajis, please turn to Matajis. Men, please turn to men and await your assignment. Has every one of you found a partner, please? Or let us ask like this, who has not yet found a partner, please look around for another lonely person. Lonely is not the word, non-partner person, and team up with him or her. Good, good. My dear devotees, dear friends on the path, I need to address you like this because we are walking all the same road. We are seeing this, we are meeting similar obstacles and similar solutions. Think of a situation in your life where you were really needing Krishna's help. And you were aware of that. Not that you were just suffering, but you were really knowing, Krishna, this is too hard for me. This is too difficult. And think of the situation where you turned to him, not where you protested. Why did you do this to me? No, no. How did he respond? Once again, think of a situation in your life where you were really needing Krishna's help and where you turned to him. How did he respond? Was there a response? Share honestly with your neighbor, even if you felt, there was not yet a response. We're looking for something which has the pulse of life. No, the something like this, and share if there was a response. Please think for a moment before you talk. That's very important sometimes. And then you may start. Think now, and when you... I got something. You can start sharing now. And everyone should share, not just you and the other is silent. Give equal chances. You have one more minute.
For birthday, for birthday.
Do you need a little bit more time or okay, but please accelerate. We have 1.5 more minutes.
I know Ananda Gauranga. I had to play in a theater play and I really needed help. Pray, maybe Krishna responds. Maybe. Ananda Gauranga. We love you very much. So Krishna and myself, we are talking about this. And we wish the test wouldn't be so hard. We are in the party. You know?
Full support, huh? Hare Krishna. I hope it was useful. I hope you did not become atheists. Maybe you still have to learn to turn to Krishna. I thank you very, very much. I am aware that we are a little bit over time, so our Gopi Manjari is somewhere here. There she is. Good. She will give us an orientation about everything.